Welcome back to the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
And again, welcome back. Actually, for Dr. Mixon and myself, this is our number four.
Yep.
And we love it.
Three down, one to go.
We started off 21 years ago with 1 hour.
Mm-hmm.
Then we went to two.
Then we went to three.
And now,
we're up to four.
By the time we retire, which is going to be in about, what, 30 years?
30 years.
We'll
from
be
now.
Up to 8 hours. From now. We'll be up to 8 hours a day.
Yep.
This is fun stuff. We've got Fred on, but we do have two open lines right now. And I should tell you, if you would like to ask Dr. Mixon a question, then you do that right now. Call 888-312-5757. That's 1-888-312-5757.
You realize I have now been working full-time for 55 years.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. I started full-time. I joined the Army at 17.
Oh, yeah. That was work.
That was work. High-risk work, in fact.
Yes, that's right.
And low-paid. I made $72 a month.
Was that it, really?
$72 a month, yeah. Well, until I got in combat. And between my jump pay for being a paratrooper and my combat pay, I made $240 a month when I was actually humping the jungles and getting shot at. But, yeah.
And getting hit.
And getting shot once in a while, yeah.
Yes, right.
Yeah, so 17 to 72, that's 55 years of full-time work.
Isn't that something?
And I got another 30 years before I retire.
Me too.
So I figure 85 years of full-time work, I will have earned my Social Security.
So, yeah, which we have to take.
Which I already have to take, which is bizarre, because I'm paying into the Social Security account at the highest level, even though they're paying me Social Security because of my age.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you think that at some point in your life you could quit paying into Social Security?
Yeah.
Maybe by 80 or 90 or at some point we should be able to say you've paid enough.
That's too logical, but let's not go there. Again, if you've got a question, 1-888-312-5757. Let's just jump right over there to Montlake Terrace and talk to Fred. Hello, Fred. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Fred.
Can you hear me?
We do. Speak.
Hello?
Yes, sir. So thousands of people are hanging on your every word.
Great. So my question is in regard to the APOE4 gene and Alzheimer's and where one can go get tested of that, as I had a grandparent who did pass of Alzheimer's. And if you could talk a little bit about what the probability of more getting Alzheimer's with regard to having the APOE4 as opposed to one of the APOE3, I don't know, allele, I think is what it's called.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody has two APO genes. There is a 2, a 3, and a 4 in human beings. Fish have a 1. We do 2, 3s, and 4s. And so you get one from mom and one from dad. So you can be a 4-4. A3-4, A3-3, A3-2, A2-2, okay? So any combination of those. If you have two APO4 genes. That is, you are what we call an APO4-4. You have a 50% chance of having dementia by age 60. So 50-50 chance. Now, you notice, though, that even with that dual APO4, it's 50%. The equal number will be demented, but an equal number will not be demented. So the APO4 gene is not a death sentence, okay? What the difference is in lifestyle. By changing your lifestyle, by staying lean, by exercising regularly, by watching your diet, by being physically and mentally active, you can reduce your risk of developing Alzheimer's disease by up to 80%. So if you do it right, you can cut your risk, even if you are an APO epsilon 4-4, from a 50% chance to a 10% chance of getting demented. Now,
that's huge.
It is huge. So 10% is not zero. You know, 10 out of 100 people in that position will still get demented, even if they do everything right. But I would rather have a 10% chance than a 50% chance of being demented by 60.
Sure.
All right.
Okay, so my question also is, where does one get tested for it then?
Oh, well, we test all of our patients. I mean, everybody that walks in my door gets tested for the APO epsilon status, and we tell them whether they are, you know, a 2-2, 2-3, 3-3, 3-4, 3-2, whatever. So we check everybody. I just think it's an important thing that everyone should know their status. But unfortunately, many doctors don't, and most lawyers suggest you don't. And the reason lawyers tell you don't check is that if you check it from a regular clinic, your regular doctor that takes insurance, the insurance company has access to that data. And you will, if you have even one APO epsilon 4, if you're a 2-4 or a 3-4, if you've got an epsilon 4, you will never be able to buy long-term care insurance. No one will sell it to you because the risks are too high that they'll lose money on you. Okay. Mm-hmm. So most attorneys will say, please don't check it because you are at risk. Okay. Now at our clinic, we don't accept insurance, and that means we don't have to tell anybody about you. We are one of those rare clinics in America where doctor-patient confidentiality actually applies. I don't even tell your spouse or your children or your parents about you unless you have given me written orders to do so. All right? So, you know, you check it with us. We know. You know. No one else knows unless you tell us that you want us to tell them. So any doctor can check it. All they do is they just order your APO epsilon status from the laboratory. Every big commercial lab can run it for you. Not a big deal.
Very good. Okay. Well, all thank right. you very much.
You're welcome,
you, Fred.
Take care.
Glad you called. Let us go to...
Oh, hang on one second.
Oh, sure.
If you are an epsilon 2 instead of a 4, you have a higher risk of diabetes, by the way. You double your risk of being a diabetic if you're an epsilon 2. So all of these things give us different strengths, different propensity. Epsilon 2s have a very low risk of getting Alzheimer's, but a double the risk of getting diabetes.
Let's just deal with this for a minute, because you gave a statistic out there that still some people are saying, did he really say that? Well, you've been saying it for as long as I've known you.
Yeah.
If you can lower, even if you've got the 4-4.
Yeah, even if you've got the worst case, 4-4, you, we can reduce your risk of getting demented by 80%. We can cut you from a 50-50 chance to a 10% chance.
And the reason I bring this up is that I think the majority of, especially seniors, have always had the attitude, well, if I'm going to get it, I'm going to get it. There's nothing I can do about it. And that's sort of that fatalistic attitude that we sometimes talk about here that really is a huge mistake, because if you don't measure, you don't know. But if you know...
you can change your lifestyle.
That's right. Then you can do. You shouldn't have that fatalistic attitude. Oh, it's the way it is. Yeah. Nothing I can do. I don't want to know.
But see, I want to know not just the four. I want to know my actual APO epsilon status.
Yeah.
How many twos, how many threes, how many fours? Because each of those different pictures provide different genetic propensities.
That's right.
But they are propensities. They're not destiny. And so whatever your genetic picture is, there are interventions we can use to give you the best favorable outcome.
So let me make something clear here. When we offer the free health analysis appointment, we offer two free tests. We don't do the genetic testing, the telomere testing, the super advanced.
That costs us too much.
So well, yeah.
If you become a patient, we do all that.
That's right. But still, with the two free tests that we offer, it will give you indications as it relates to your basic health risk. What are some of those indications, real quickly? What's the advantage of getting these two free tests that we're talking? We haven't explained this in a long time. We just said two free tests.
Well, one thing we're going to do is we're going to do an in-body study on you that's actually going to measure how much muscle versus how much fat you have in each extremity, in your arms, in your legs, and in your torso. And by looking at the amount of visceral fat you've got, we can get a very good idea of what your statistical risk is of dementia, heart disease, diabetes, osteoarthritis, because that visceral fat is destructive. It produces more than 80 different destructive peptides, enzymes, and cytokines. The other thing we're going to do is we're going to look at your hemoglobin A1C, the percentage of your red blood cells that have been damaged by sugar. This will tell us what your average blood sugar has run over the last 3 months, not just today.
And why? What does that tell us?
Once more, that is going to tell us about your risk for diabetes and dementia and cardiovascular disease. So if you've got a low visceral body fat and a nice low hemoglobin A1C, that tells us you're doing good. You're at low risk of anything and everything. If one of those is high, you've got significant increased risk. If both of those are high, you're in deep doo-doo and you better sign up for the clinic right now. I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
But again, if you don't measure, you don't know. And so we just came to the conclusion a couple of years ago, well, we'll at least do these two basic tests to help you understand.
And these tests are not enough for us to do firm diagnoses of specific diseases. What they do is give us an overall picture of your risk factor for a wide variety of problems. Then, if you are at high risk, we will offer you the opportunity to come in and let us do a much more intensive testing.
But again, the
make diagnoses.
Yeah, we're not going to ask you to take step two or three or four. We're saying we'll
start with
you
one.
Step one.
Yeah.
And
that's
free.
A freebie.
And it's free. So,
and if you see where you are, you want more, tell us, we'll do more.
That's right. And so this is why we're no longer doing seminars. There's several reasons now with the pandemic, but lots of reasons. People want to just take that first step. They listen to the program week after week, sometimes year after year, sometimes decade after decade, and they realize, okay, I got to know. I want to know. And so what we're doing through May, we've made about 10 to 11 new appointments available, the free health analysis appointments available. We can only do that many, quite frankly, because we've got a whole lot of patients here and they take a priority for our time. But again, if you want one of those free health analysis appointments, especially right now when we're giving not only the two free tests, but a couple of free masks, the N95 masks, and $100 of longevity supplements. We make, what, Jerry, 35 or 40 different supplements. Mm-hmm. And so whatever you'd like, we'll give you, just for coming in, $100 worth of our supplements as well. We know you will enjoy, in fact, you will love the process. And so if you want one of those, about 33 appointments all told for the entire month of May, that's the downside. Well, the upside is they're available right now, at least
so a couple of hours. Come get them before they're gone.
Yeah, just go to our website, lmclinic.com, lmclinic.com. Push on the little tab there on the main homepage. Can't miss it. Schedule a health analysis appointment. And you select the clinic, either Tacoma, Linwood, or Kirkland, and the schedule pops up when each of those specific appointments are available. You just click on the one that you want, and boom, it's yours. It's easy, easy, easy to do. LMClinic.com. Now, if you don't have a computer, okay, 95% of you do it at LMClinic.com. Otherwise, call 866-86-YOUNG.
If you don't have a computer, get on your ox cart or your mule and ride to the nearest town that's in the 21st century, and somebody will help you make,
a
connection.
That was not very nice.
They're not very nice.
866. Hopefully they'll have a phone. 866-86-YOUNG. You're going to get calls on that. That was not very nice.
I'm actually just thinking of my mother, who, when she was a girl, actually had an ox cart. Couldn't afford a mule. So they had an ox and an ox cart with those wooden wheels like you see in the Middle Ages movies.
All right. We'll be right back.
We'd just like to encourage your audience that hasn't come in and listened to a seminar and you folks to take a look at it. I honestly, you say 10 to 15 years on your advertisements. I think I feel better than I felt 30 years ago.
Many a tear has to fall, but it's all in the game. All in the wonderful game that we know as love.
Almost 22 minutes past the hour. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Pete Talbot, but more importantly, I've got Dr. Jerry Mixon here. He is the founder and chief medical officer for Longevity. And we've got three clinics around the Puget Sound area, Tacoma, Linwood, and Kirkland. So we can help you no matter where you live pretty easily. We've got you surrounded. This person was, again, talking about the benefit of going to a webinar, a seminar. Well, we really are not doing too many seminars anymore. We did as many as six a month. We probably averaged three a month, four a month for the last 20 years. But right now, you can watch the introduction to longevity on our website. It is, I got to tell you, Dr. Mixon just did an incredible job. It's about 45 minutes called Introduction to Longevity. I basically refer to it as the ABCs and XYZs of what we do at Longevity. And go to our website, lmclinic.com. In fact, if you're convinced, but you're trying to convince your spouse, your friend, your neighbor, a brother, a sister, mom, or dad, have them go to our website. They will love it. I'm telling you. It's called Introduction to Longevity. Just go to lmclinic.com and watch it. They will love it, and they will thank you for doing it. Okay, let's go to Sandy in Montlake Terrace. Hi, Sandy.
Hello, Sandy.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Oh, tall, brilliant, incredibly handsome, and delusional as hell.
I kind of expected that. I wanted to ask about hydroxychloroquine.
Uh-huh. What about it?
Well, what does it do if you take it? How much are they using of it for treatment of the, I call Hong Kong, not Hong Kong, Chi-Com flu.
Okay. And, I call it the CCP virus, the Chinese Communist Party virus.
Oh, you've got all three in there. Okay.
Yes.
I missed one. Okay. Oh,
Chinese Communist Party. That's it.
Chinese Communist Party.
CCP.
I'll start using that one instead.
So what is your question, ma'am?
Okay, so they're using
hydroxychloroquine. Yes.
For treatment.
In
and
conjunction with a...
And what?
Okay. Yeah, it's hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin, and zinc. It's a combination of three things. And it is being used here in Washington State when people get the first diagnosis and they are ill. Most of the hospitals are now starting people on it. The hydroxychloroquine is a pretty good drug of preventing people from getting sick. And so a lot of healthcare workers that are exposed to the virus every day because they are treating people that are sick with it are on hydroxychloroquine as a protective, as a prophylactic measure, so they, to help prevent them from getting sick. It seems to inhibit the virus from invading the cells very well. Hydroxychloroquine, on the other hand, is not an effective drug for people that are hospital sick. If you are, you know, if you have a significant illness and the virus already has a good foothold on you and is invading your system and making you quite sick, it doesn't appear to help. In fact, there was even one small retrospective VA study that said it might even make things worse in that population. So, you know, it's not a good drug for treating real sick people. It is a good drug for prophylaxis and for treating mild cases. It seems to shorten the illness.
What dosage are they giving?
They're usually loading with 800 milligrams a day for the first 2 days and then reducing it to 400 milligrams a day. 200 milligram pills 4 times a day after the first 2 days of loading. But if people are sick with the virus, then an injectable drug called remdesivir appears to be helping a lot better. So remdesivir... Remdesivir is a drug. It was actually developed by Gilead Sciences, and Gilead is a company that developed this drug originally for Ebola. And so it has been used for Ebola. It's been used for SARS, and now it is being used for coronavirus or the CCP virus. And it's basically been tested at University of Chicago. They did the largest study, and it appears to be working pretty darn well. So, you know, we do have two treatments, one for protection and mild cases and one for more serious cases.
Excuse me. My rheumatologist has me on 400 milligrams of hydroxychloroquine a day. Is that going to be a pre-medication?
That's what it's done. And actually, interestingly, Dr. Oz was working with a national group of rheumatologists, the National Academy of Rheumatology, and they are looking at databases of millions of people that are using hydroxychloroquine for other conditions, for arthritis or for lupus. And what they're finding is the incidence... Sjogren's syndrome, yes, all of the autoimmune diseases. And they're finding that the incidence of coronavirus among those people is extremely low, much, much lower than we would expect. So it does appear in that patient population, you know, which tends to be an older group of people to start with, the people you would expect to be at the highest risk from the virus. And yet the number of cases that in people that are taking their drug regularly, extremely low. So, yes, it does seem to help protect you.
Well, that's comforting.
Yes.
If I have to take it, it's good to know it's good for something else.
Yes. And it's also good to protect you against malaria. So, you know, next time you're down in the Amazon, you don't have to worry about catching malaria as much. All right?
Okay, great.
All right.
I'll plan to do that trip.
Okay, well, but
I'm eighty, so it's really good stuff, huh?
Yes, right. You know, 80 years old, I can just envision you in a dugout canoe paddling your way down the Amazon River, you know, fishing for piranha along the way, and swatting mosquitoes. It's just great. You're in fine shape if you decide to do that.
Thank you, Sandy. I hope you enjoy the trip down the Amazon. Appreciate the call today.
Take care, buddy.
That's great. Okay, let's go to. A quick break. This will be a quickie, and we'll be back with Mel from Bellevue, who has a question about lowering his A1C. You've been talking about that, Jerry, here this morning.
That's a very good thing to do. Yes.
So we'll talk more about that with Mel, and then Marie from Maple Valley has a question about omeprazole.
Okay.
All right. So we've got a lot still cooking here, and we probably can take another call or two. So why don't you get right behind Mel and Marie by calling us at 1-888-312-5757. 1-888-312-5757.
I've been a patient for about a year and a half. I was walking like an old man. Now I'm back to the point where I'm rowing maybe 15 minutes a day, walking 2 or 3 miles a day. That all feels real good to get my balance back, too. When I put on my pants, I do it in slow motion, and I don't have to lean against anything. That was not possible a year and a half ago. I owe a lot to the longevity program. It's been great.
Maybe it's time for you to schedule your free health analysis appointment at Longevity. It comes with 2 free tests to help determine what your basic health risks are, and we've extended a special offer for all free health analysis appointments through May. We're offering $100 of free longevity supplements. So schedule your free health analysis appointment online at lmclinic.com. lmclinic.com. That's lmclinic.com.
Born to be.
My husband and I have been listening, so you guys are absolutely delightful. The 3 of you make this perfect gem. We are planning to become patients very soon, and we love the information that Dr. Mixon conveys. It can't be found anywhere else.
By your side.
You know, I love that testimonial in there from Dave. He said, he actually said that one of the major benefits of being a patient at Longevity is that he could put his pants on without having to sit down and, you know, put them on one leg at a time. Sure. He could just stand there and put his pants on.
Well, and, you know, young people do that. They stand on one leg and they bend over and they pull their pants on.
I love this. Yeah.
But as people age, the proprioceptors in their joints go bad. The balance mechanisms in their brain go bad. They lose their core body strength and they have to sit down to put their pants on and off or to do their socks. And, one of the simple tests that I tell our guys is, you know, if you can't stand on one leg and pull your pants on that and then stand on the other and pull your pants and do the same thing when you're taking them off, you need longevity because your balance, your coordination, your core body strength are going to pot.
I think Dave at the time was, this was a few years ago, 3-4 years ago, was 78 or 79, older gentleman. But boy, that made a big deal, big difference for him. He really appreciated it.
Yeah, these are simple things in day-to-day living
that
you don't want to have to give up.
That's right. Another good reason to make one of the free health analysis appointments, but I digress. No more about that. Let's go to Bellevue and talk to Mel.
Mel, hello, welcome. Mel.
Welcome to the show.
Mel, speak.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Mel.
You're on the air.
No, it's Bill.
Bill.
Oh, Bill, sorry about that.
They wrote down Mel here. I'm sorry, Bill. Welcome.
How can we help, sir?
Okay. Dr. Mixon, I have spherocytosis, which means my normal good hematocrit is 30-35 when I'm in good health.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'm wheelchair bound, and my hematocrit is 19-20. Other than my doctor constantly sending me in for blood transfusion, how can I raise my hematocrit?
Boy. Well, there are several things that that do that. You know, part of this, of course, is how much of yours is due to a bone marrow dyscrasia, in which your bone marrow has a problem and simply can't make red cells anymore. And how much of this is the anemia of chronic disease, which is fairly common?
When I'm in good health and climbing mountains and everything, my normal hematocrit is 30 to 35.
Yeah,
lower than average. At all.
Sure. Okay, a couple of things can raise our red cell mass, and one of them is simply testosterone supplementation. A significant number. Well, you want to get your serum blood level up above the 50th percentile for a healthy young man. You know, I have been using
testosterone cream behind my knees, where it's been about a 150. I mean, 1500, and that doesn't seem to have helped.
Yeah, well, and again, you have to have bone marrow that can respond. You know, testosterone sends signals to the bone marrow that says, make more red cell mass, we need more exercise. And so my question is, what else is going on in your bone marrow? There are some, you know, there's some other chemicals that can be used, but I'm sure if he's giving you transfusions, there's other reasons. Has he given you a diagnosis of why you're not making red cell mass?
No.
Hmm. I wonder why. You're seeing a.
Okay, I'll go in and ask for it then.
Yeah, are you seeing a hematologist?
No, just my PCP.
Okay. You need a consult with a hematologist. All right.
Okay.
This is a doctor whose specialty is diseases and abnormalities of the blood. And so hematologist.
Over a phone. He wanted to remove my spleen.
Okay, well, maybe. I wouldn't undergo major surgery, because remember, if you lose your spleen, you're going to damp down your immune function dramatically, and your risk of dying of infections goes up. So
yes.
that's a significant trade-off. So once more, get a consult with a good hematologist and see what he says. Because that's the specialist in blood diseases, and you sound to me like you really need his input. All right?
Thanks a lot.
Okay. Right. Take care, sir.
Thank you, Bill.
Bye-bye.
Let us go to Marie in Maple Valley. Marie, welcome.
Hello, Marie.
Hello. I have a question. I've been on the Omeprazole,
20
milligrams.
Uh-huh.
And I heard it's, you know, linked to dementia and Alzheimer's, and my doctor, I asked her about it and said it is. Is there an alternative that's natural or doesn't have that effect?
Anything that turns off your stomach acid is going to have that effect. Omeprazole is a proton pump inhibitor. It prevents your stomach from kicking out hydrochloric acid. And lets the pH in your stomach rise quite high. It's usually used because people are having significant reflux disease. And so the question is, what else can we do short of turning off your stomach acid to prevent you from refluxing? Because without the stomach acid, you don't absorb iron or potassium or magnesium, None of the positive charged ions are well absorbed, and you don't absorb the B vitamins very well and the folic acid. So anemias, dementia, peripheral neuropathies all become very, very common in people that are on long-term proton pump inhibitors.
And the frustrating thing is every doctor knows that there's warnings. They're not designed for long-term use.
Yeah. These drugs were approved for use up to 3 months.
And they do a great job from what I understand.
Yes. For short-term use, they do a wonderful job. The problem is that, you know, if you're using it for reflux, the reflux doesn't go away in 3 months.
That's right.
Nothing physiologically has changed. And so people stay on it for years at a time, and that's where they get into trouble. So what we want to do is to find out, you know, why aren't you producing acid? One of the things that might be done, actually, is to give you some simple hydrochloric acid in the middle of your meal. You might find that by raising the pH, or by lowering the pH, raising the acid level in your stomach, you actually start emptying your stomach more efficiently and not refluxing. Another thing we can often do is to raise your anabolic hormone load, get your testosterone and DHEA up high enough, and grow that diaphragm, that barrier, big muscular barrier between the stomach or the abdomen and the chest, grow that thicker and stronger and reinforce the strength of the gastroesophageal valve so that you don't reflux as much. The other thing is to get you up and moving and get you exercising regularly. Exercise stimulates peristalsis and moves things out of your stomach down into the bowel so they don't reflux. The other thing is to take a look at your body fat and make you as lean as possible. People, for some reason, seem to think that they put fat on their belly. But for every pound you're putting on your belly, you're putting another pound inside your belly. And there's only so much room in there. And so as the visceral fat level rises, reflux becomes a bigger and bigger problem because the pressure in your belly is increased because of the increased abdominal fat. So getting lean, getting fit, exercising regularly, raising your testosterone, dehydroepiandrosterone levels, all make a big difference in reflux, in which case you might not need the proton pump inhibitor.
Okay, yeah, I don't exercise, and I do have a lot of extra weight. I don't drink or smoke or anything. I never have, but I am heavy. I need to lose probably 90 to 100 pounds, and I don't exercise other than my job. So that would make a big difference in the acid reflux, possibly.
Absolutely. It almost certainly will.
You mentioned hydrochloric. What did you say?
Hydrochloric acid. Hydrochloric acid is the acid that your stomach produced in large quantities when you were young. It's designed to help break down the proteins and start the digestive process. And as people age, the acidity in their stomach decreases. They become less and less acidic. And the problem, of course, is that acid is part of the stimulus to cause the stomach to contract and push the food out of the stomach down into the bowel.
Do we carry hydrochloric acid?
Sure we do, yeah.
What's it called?
Hydrochloric acid.
It's just hydrochloric acid.
It's called, let's see, I think it's called betaine hydrochloride.
Betaine
hydrochloride, yeah. And that
I've
is.
I've been to your website before and looked at the supplement. Betaine hydrochloride.
Right. And what you do is you start to eat, and you take it in the middle of the meal.
How much?
And then you finish the rest. We start with one pill, and if we need to, we can go to two. But you
in the middle of each meal.
In the middle of each meal. And the idea is to, you don't want to put it on an empty stomach because you don't want to reflux it. It's acid. Mm-hmm. But you take it midway through your meal so that you have buffers before
sure,
and after.
Sure.
But it helps you to digest the food.
Eat half my sandwich, take the pill, and eat the mm-hmm. other half.
That's right.
Okay, great. And I've noticed on your website the resveratrol is in gel caps. Are you guys one of the few people that have it in gel caps? Because that's everybody else that I've found has it. It's a hard pill. And so is it something that needs to be in a gel cap so it can be absorbed easier?
We put ours in a gelatin capsule just because it's in powder form, and we want it to be absorbed quickly. So it's, you know, within a couple of moments of that capsule hitting your stomach, the outside layer dissolves very quickly and releases the resveratrol powder into the lumen of the stomach, and you absorb it real fast that way.
Great. Okay, well, I'm coming for a health analysis test, and I am going to be buying a nice amount of supplements, so I've budgeted for that.
Okay, so let's get your test. But listen, before you start buying supplements, get your tests, come see the doctor, let the doctor recommend what supplements they think you need instead of just guessing on your own, okay?
Thank you, Marie. Appreciate the call. The music is played. We got to go to a break, but we'll be back in time so that we can talk to Shirley. And she has a question about the hydroxychloroquine again and kidney failure. So don't go far. And I can think I can take one more call besides Shirley from Seattle. So call at 1-888-312-5757 and we'll try to sneak you in real quickly.
I definitely would recommend that people attend a seminar. It was a great overview of what he does, but the real results are in the program, and that speaks for itself. The results came almost immediately, and they've been getting better and better.
All right, Maddie from Everett, you've got a question about video checkups. You don't hang up. You hang on. But we're going to first go to Shirley from Seattle. Shirley, welcome to the show.
Hello, Shirley.
Welcome. Thank you. The doctor mentioned that if one developed the virus, one is usually given the hydrochloroquine along with Azithromax and zinc. But I had read a PubMed study saying that the Azithromax, if you had any degree of kidney CKD, chronic kidney disease, mm-hmm. which I do, it could lead to or increase the likelihood of kidney failure. And that's what I wanted to ask your opinion about.
Now, azithromycin is a drug I would use very cautiously in somebody with chronic kidney disease, yes. You know, we're back to Dr. Mixon's first rule of medicine. Anything strong enough to help is strong enough to hurt in some other way. Okay, so, yeah.
And in that case, would you just be given the
hydroxychloroquine and the zinc, probably? Yes.
And zinc. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Well,
but you sound like a lady of some mature years, which means, you know, you're at high risk of getting really sick. So, yeah, we'd want to start you as early as we could.
Oh, on the hydroxychloroquine.
On the hydroxychloroquine and the zinc, yes.
Uh-huh. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You're welcome, Shirley. Thank you. And now we go to Everett and talk with Maddie. Maddie, welcome to the show.
Hi. How are you? I'm good. Are you good? Yes. Anyway, I'm kind of in shock. While I was listening to you guys, I got a call from my clinic where my primary care physician is, and I will say that the initials are EC, and I'm from Everett. Anyway, so her assistant calls me and says, hi, we're scheduling video checkups for the rest of the year, annual checkups. And I said, excuse me? How are you going to do that? How are you going to take my blood pressure? How are you going to do this? How are you going to do that? And I said, I am not. I'm a Medicare. I've been in Medicare now for 2 years. So I think what I'm upset about is, number one, what can they see? I mean, I don't do video anyway. I just do maybe, telephone appointments and a couple of situations it's okay. But anyway, a checkup? Really? So I said, I'm not going to see the doctor for my annual. I mean, I'm not going to do this online. What do you think about that? Have you heard for the rest of the year?
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, healthcare workers are at high risk simply because they get close contact with a whole lot of people. And as part of the social distancing, they are asking physicians, and this is the government, our state is pushing doctors to do telemedicine as much as possible. But you're right. There are things you simply cannot do with telemedicine. It's hard to listen to your lungs with telemedicine. It is hard to listen to your heart It is hard to feel your abdomen and see if your liver or your spleen are enlarged or tender. It's very difficult to do a breast exam or to look in your eyes. I mean, you know, we can't feel your lymph nodes to see if you're developing a lymphoma or something. Yes, the physical examination is and has been for time immemorial to a large extent a hands-on, very personal examination. You know, yeah. I'd be very interested to see how your gynecologist is going to check your ovaries and uterus and cervix on the telephone.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
I mean, where are you going to put that camera? But no, yeah.
Should I find a different doctor? Because I said, if this is
we're all getting the same. We're all getting the same instructions from the state.
Really?
Yes.
For the rest of the year, doctor?
Well, I think that's overkill.
Yeah.
You know, this virus is going to decrease in severity in the summer.
Yeah.
And so if our governor has a brain in his head, he's going to watch the data, and somewhere around mid-June to early July, he's going to start saying, hey, guess what? It's time to loosen up and get back into life and let doctors be real-life doctors and examine patients again. But so my hope is it won't be the rest of the year. Actually, though, when the weather cools off about October, November, I fully expect to see a resurgence of the virus. Coronavirus will still be in the community, and as things cool off and people start congregating indoors again, you are going to start seeing more cases. That's part of why they're putting just an absolute mad rush on trying to develop a vaccine. There are more than 40 different companies around the world all competing to get a vaccine out the fastest right now. There are a few very strong optimists that are saying, we think we can get it out by September. Well, maybe. I hope. I doubt it. But I'm betting for next spring.
Well, are you even sure they can do it? I mean, there's no guarantee they'll find one. Right?
Well, they've got several things that in the laboratory look like they will probably work, that are making good antibody in the laboratory animals. And we've got a couple of them even here in America and several in Europe and one in Israel that are doing the human safety trials and mostly look pretty good.
Okay.
So they'll be doing the human effectiveness trials, probably this summer. The question is how big a trial and for how long? And the smaller number of people and the shorter the study, the faster you can get it out on the market. But that also means your safety factors will be less and your certainty of effectiveness will be less because you haven't done it on as many people for a longer period of time. But, you know, it's a trade-off. How fast can we get it out? How many lives can we save and how many will we put at risk by giving 300 million people in America this injection when we've only had a couple of months of testing on it?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a crapshoot. We'll see.
Anything else, Maddie?
Yeah, I believe, number one, in the herd immunity. I strongly believe that because I think if we all lock ourselves down inside, then when we go out, we're going to get it. So no matter how long we wait, we're going to get it.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
Number one.
And
number
I prefer the Swedish model in which we say, folks, sick folks, fat folks, stay indoors.
Yes.
The rest of you, get out. Get
your
little flu syndrome and move on with life.
Yes, exactly. Because there's other diseases. I mean, why don't we lock ourselves up to protect ourselves from everything and from car crashes, et cetera, et cetera. But the other thing is that there's a quote, my hero is fiction, and it's Captain America, okay? But it's not totally fiction. And he says, fear destroys liberty. And
he's right.
Yeah, I mean it's to cry about. I mean it's just horrific. It's like, you know, one thing after another, and I think you have a lot of conservative listeners, and it, you know, it started in 2016 and you know why. And if it's not one thing, it's another thing. Actually, it started before 2016, 8 years of it. So, excuse me for being political, but
well, that's okay.
It's like wearing down.
Yep. Well, yeah, again, I will repeat it for the umpteenth time, Dr. Mixon's philosophy of medicine and politics. Okay. People who want to run their own lives, stay home and run their own life. People who want to run other people's lives, seek public office. The left wants to run my life in one way. The right wants to run my life in a different way. What they have in common is they all think they're better qualified to run my life than I am. And I disagree.
And with that, Maddie, we got to go. But thank you for your call. And this has been a great 4 hours, a wonderful 4 hours. Thanks for being with us. Don't forget, if you are, like so many others, quite frankly, are realizing there has never been a better time to get healthy, you need to grab one of our free health analysis appointments. Yes, the two tests are free, but we're also giving you a couple of free masks, the N95 masks. And $100 of longevity supplements are free of your choice for coming in the month of May. We have about 10 appointments available, the free health analysis appointments, in each of our three clinics. Grab yours now on a first-come, first-served basis at lmclinic.com.
The preceding program was paid for by the advertiser and does not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of KVI management and staff.
KVI Seattle. Tune in and tune up. From remodeling your